The Sand Geeks. We are the Sand Geeks.
Hello, geeks. Welcome to episode 40. This is episode 40, amazing, of the Sand Geeks podcast. You should know by now, but my name is Steve, otherwise known as the Basic Bitch, and I'm not alone. I'm joined by His Royal Highness, the Niche of York. That man is Chris from the channel Fragmental. Chris, how are you?
Hello, Steve. Thanks for that lovely intro. Yeah, I'm all right. I've had a good weekend, actually. It's been nice. How are you doing? Have you had a good weekend?
Yeah, it's been all right. The weather's been shit here. I don't know about you in York, but in Cambridge Way, it has been pretty much raining all weekend, so it just limits your options. You feel stuck in the house, adds to the stress of trying to entertain the kids, and yeah, so that's not been so good, if I'm honest. But
yeah, it was like that here yesterday. It rained all day, but I kind of sometimes don't mind that, because it's like just guilt-free, just chilling in the house. Kids can put a movie on, we can all sit down and watch something together. So that was all right. And then today was nice. We drove. We haven't seen my mum and dad for a while, so they're in a region where we aren't allowed to go and visit them.
And they're
not supposed to come and visit us, but we can meet them for a walk somewhere. So we did, and we went to Hebden Bridge, which is a beautiful part of Yorkshire near Halifax, and we did this gorgeous walk alongside the river to a mill. And as you can imagine, the colours of the trees were just stunning. I love this time of year for that, and the smells, and there was bits of sunlight coming through the leaves and creating that beautiful dappled effect on the forest floor. And I'd taken a few bottles out with me to photograph, as I do when I always take advantage when we have a trip out and do some photies for the gram.
I was going to say, did you use that background in any videos or anything?
Yeah, didn't do a video. Yeah, just did the photos, and it was great. And the weather held out for us, so we at least got out and got fresh air on one of the days this weekend.
Oh, that's good news. We went out today. We kind of went to quite a large garden centre where they've got loads of other sort of shops and things. We've got a few bits and bobs, so it's kind of nice to get out. But the baby girl she's had a little tongue tie, so she had that detached on Friday, so right. She's sort of been getting used to that a little bit, and she's been a bit grisly since, so okay. Yeah, bless her. But right. Other than that,
when you having yours detached?
my tongue is stuck in many places, but other than that, something I did want to mention, a couple of things, something we'd already mentioned before we get into fragrance chat. Obviously, Cineworld is coming to an end, because I know you're a movie buff like me, so this is why I messaged you about it. Like, Cineworld is closing in the UK, so that's any US listeners. Yeah. I don't know if you have Cineworld. They are a global thing, but they have different brands and different chains, etc. But it's a massive cinema chain in the UK, and they're struggling. So they're coming potentially shutting at the end of the next week. So
indefinitely. Yeah, I'm really depressed about this, because I'm a big movie buff, and we've just had, in the last few months, it was literally just before lockdown, a brand spanking new one opened in York, and I was particularly excited because we've had other cinemas in York that I love, but this had an IMAX. So I went and saw 1917 there, I saw Tenet there the other week, and it's the biggest IMAX screen currently in the country, I think, because newer cinemas, they get bigger and better each time, don't they? And I've been waiting for years. If I wanted to go and see anything on IMAX, I had to go to Bradford or London, so neither particularly easily accessible. So I've been waiting for years for this cinema to get built, and then it was built. I couldn't believe that we finally had an IMAX in York. And then, they're saying that they're closing down, so I'm absolutely gutted.
It's because of they say it's the delay of the James Bond film, don't they? Which is obviously a topic we've discussed before, Mr. Bond. I was really upset about that. Before we move on, I just want to shout out, I don't think I mentioned this last week, but if you've not seen the film The Gentleman, have you watched it yet? The Guy Ritchie movie?
Oh, that keeps getting advertised on my... Is it on Netflix?
It's on Prime. It's on Prime. Amazon Prime, which you can watch for free if you've got Prime.
Yeah, it's on my Fire Stick. That's where I keep seeing it advertised. Yeah, I thought it was a series, to be honest. But
no, it's a movie. It's a Guy Ritchie movie, and it's really good. Matthew McConaughey. It's got Colin Farrell in it. He's brilliant. Hugh Grant in it is again brilliant, playing a completely different character than what you're used to from him. He's not like a typical English gentleman like he normally does. He's this seedy, dodgy sort of undercover reporter bloke who's trying to blackmail people. He plays it brilliantly. It's such a good film. Really enjoyed it.
Is it one for the boys, or will my wife enjoy it?
It's definitely in the same style of most Guy Ritchie movies, but kind of like right. Snatch and Lock, Stock. So it's kind of a bit funny. I wouldn't say it's too gory as such, but I would like it to actually have a bit more action. But there is a few gunshot shootings and things, but it's not particularly action heavy. But again, it's quite an intertwined plot as right. a typical Guy Ritchie movie. So there's different characters overlay. So my wife could have watched it. She didn't. I ended up watching it one night when she was Sparko in bed or whatever.
I think I'll do the same.
Yeah, exactly. You'd probably watch it without her, but she could watch it. Because my mate asked me the exact same thing. He was like, my missus will be up for it. I don't know if she is. I'm like, oh. But anyway.
I'll just get Helen drugged up what I usually do when I want to watch something. And she'll go to bed early and then I've got a movie night to myself. That's usually how it works when I want to watch something.
Yeah, same here. Yeah. Anyway, mate, we better get on to fragrance. Have you been wearing?
What have I been wearing? I've been wearing some good stuff this week, and I've been testing a lot, actually. So I received the new Galavant Bukhara, which is a beautiful iris fragrance, really gorgeous, elegant fragrance, another great one from Galavant, and I'm going to shoot a video on that, I think, this week. I was lucky enough to receive some fragrances from Amouage, so they sent me beautiful...
Get you!
I know, mate.
You're kind of a big deal now.
Yeah, they sent me stuff before. They sent me Black Iris, and I don't know if you saw my video on Insta, but they sent me this amazing, like, glossy treasure chest of a box. It's phenomenal. And contained in there was a bottle of 100ml bottle of Overture, which is phenomenal. That's going on my autumn niche list. I love it. It was love at first sniff. Fantastic, fantastic fragrance. Boozy, cognac, woody fragrance. Beautiful. And they sent me atomizers of the new Renaissance collection. So in that there's Enclave, Crimson Rocks, Ashore and Meander. And they're all lovely. So I've been having a little sniffy of those yesterday because the kids had a friend round to play and Helen was doing some baking in the kitchen. I thought, oh, I'm going to do some sniffing. I'm going to sniff some things that, you know, you've got a queue or a line of things, samples or whatever you need to get sniffed. So I had a wonderful afternoon yesterday. I got a coffee. Got my test strips, I got all these frags out, and the best part of the whole afternoon, this was the other thing that I'm going to go on to say I smelled, Wafts from the Loft posted a video earlier in the week that was about Strange Love NYC fragrances, very expensive, fantastic quality fragrances. They're based out of New York. I've met them a couple of times in Milan and New York, you know, on my fragrance travels, and beautiful, you know, lovely people. And they gave me a discovery kit when I saw them in New York, and I hadn't yet got round to trying it out. So I thought when I saw the boys from the Wafts doing it, I thought I'm going to sniff along with them. And if anyone's never done this, then if you have the same discovery set, I urge you to do it, particularly with people like Dan and Joe, because they just go into such detail and great descriptions about the fragrances. So as they were, it's about a 30-minute video, and as they were sniffing the Strange Love fragrances, I was sniffing along, and it was I loved it. It was a really, you know, well spent afternoon of sniffing fragrances. And then I was lucky enough to get sent also from a company called St. Giles Fine Fragrance. They sent me some fragrances to experience because we're going to do an Instagram live. So I've been wearing a few of those, and they're all Bertrand Duchaufour composed fragrances. So you can imagine what they smell like, because obviously Bertrand is a bit of a master. So I've really loved exploring. So I've been wearing a lot. I've certainly been smelling a lot this week. So it's been lovely. How about you? Have you been wearing much?
Wow, man, you've been a busy little bastard, haven't you?
I know.
To quote Bricktop from Snatch.
I didn't even mention everything, to be honest, mate. There was more, but I didn't want to bore you.
I was going to stay along with the Guy Ritchie theme, and to quote Bricktop from the movie Snatch, he's been a busy little bastard, Turkish. So the question I was going to ask, with regards to Galavant, I am yet to try any of their fragrances. Right. If one was a basic bitch, what would you recommend one might dabble in or might enjoy? Or what is? I don't think that any of them are particularly too challenging, are they? But I guess what's the sort of safer end of the spectrum, or what you might think might be my style, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't say any are particularly basic either. They're kind of somewhere in the middle. Creative but wearable. I really love Istanbul, which is like a resinous, spicy fragrance. It's got that dry kind of spiciness to it. That's a great, particularly for autumn. If you want something kind of interesting but a little bit different, you might like Los Angeles.
Well, that seems to get a lot of hype, doesn't it? A lot of people talk about that. Yeah. It seems to be one of the more popular ones that I see within Francom. But yeah.
But I don't know if the new one might be a little more in line with what you like, because it's not a simple fragrance in terms of what's in there, but there's a simplicity to it. You know, there's almost like a less is more feel to the fragrance, and it's basically, to me, it's this interplay between I think the best pear note I've ever smelt in a fragrance. It's not that synthetic sweet like candy pear, you know, like pear drops that you get in things like Ultramal and pear fragrances. I didn't really realise that until I smelt Bacara, and they've actually managed to capture the smell of a freshly sliced pear. It makes me have a memory of eating a freshly sliced pear, you know, when you were a kid and your mum would slice it up and cut the pips out of it and all that. And so it really took me back to that. It's beautiful, and it's combined with this iris note. So you get a hint of that irisy, lipsticky vibe from the Dior Online, but it's not as sweet and not as lipsticky. It's kind of more of an earthy type of iris. So this pear and this earthy iris work really well together. So I think you might like that one as well. It's quite subtle, though. I'd say Istanbul and Los Angeles are stronger, more potent. This one is definitely more subtle. But it would be great as an everyday wear, as a work scent, that kind of thing. So yeah, try those three. But I mean, Tokyo as well. You might even like that. Bit of a wasabi note in that. So that's got a nice little zing to it.
I need to. Perhaps I should just get some sort of discovery set. I don't know if they do it, but that's
might
be the way to go. Yeah.
Well, you should do, mate, because I think it's about £25 for the discovery set. And if you choose, if you choose a full bottle, then they will give you that £25 off that bottle. And the bottles are £65, so basically £40 you're gonna get your fragrance, and you've had the opportunity to explore the whole line as well.
That's a great.
Good, isn't
it? That's a great setup, isn't
it? It's great.
More people should do that. That's really good.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's not the cheapest per mil, but because they're only small 30 mil bottles, we don't need anything much bigger than that, really, with all the frags we've got.
No.
So that's great, because the smaller bottles cuts the cost down, makes it more affordable. You know, you're more likely to pull the trigger.
I'm going to get on board with that. I'd do that. Could do that as a video on my YouTube channel.
I would love to hear your thoughts on Gallivant, mate. I would be kind of really, really excited to see you release that video. Definitely, I'd do it, please.
Okay, well, there you go. I've been coerced into that one. Right, what have I been wearing? As per usual, nothing too far out there. So today I've been wearing a scent that I've often described as a perfect Sunday fragrance. And interestingly, I posted on my Instagram and someone else commented and they said, yeah, it's such a great Sunday afternoon chill out fragrance. Boss Bottled EDP. Bottled Intense, the EDP version. So yeah, I just really, really find that as a very warming, comforting, that apple pie thing. It just feels like a nice Sunday fragrance. So
put your slippers on, get the paper, get a cup of tea.
Yeah, I kind of get that vibe from it. So yeah, I often wop that out on a Sunday. Yesterday I wore one of my fragrances from my Fragrances for Life list video that I've done previously. I love this fragrance. It is Tom Ford's Noir Extreme.
Oh.
And the reason I wore that actually is because I did briefly drop into Nigel's live on Friday and he was talking about the version from Rosa Salas called Reyes Noir, I think it is, which I have had, and that is a really good version. And Nigel's not smelt the original, but he got that and he loves it. He's like, oh, this is such a great fragrance. So that kind of inspired me to wear the original yesterday. I was like, oh, that is a good fragrance. I do love Noir Extreme.
I keep meaning to buy that one, actually. Not got around to it, but I'm definitely going to be grabbing it soon.
So good. I think, that's right up your street. I'm surprised you don't have that, actually.
I'm surprised.
And I've also been doing some testing for a video that I probably should have dropped a couple of days ago, if I'm being honest, but it's not had the time or inclination to kind of get it all filmed and edited, etc., etc. But I've been doing some testing, so the video might drop tomorrow or the next day. And I've been comparing. This is one of those videos that I wanted to do I don't know if you ever do this. Sometimes you do videos because you think, well, that's good top content. I think my subscribers will want to see that. And sometimes you do stuff that's for you in your sort of fragrance, interest, hobby, journey, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And then you think, well, I might as well just film it and see what some people might find some use out of it. So I've been comparing for my own, as I say, it's originally for my own journey, as it were, the differences between Spice Bomb, Spice Bomb Extreme, and Bulgari's Man in Black. I've been doing lots of testing. I wanted to clear, because I've smelt them all before in the past, but this time this week I've been wearing them religiously, each comparing them on each arm, wearing them, giving them full wearings, comparing the performance. I wanted to break it down and go, right, which one is my favorite, which one is the best one for me, which one's... So I've been doing all that testing. I'm going to drop the video and kind of let people know my findings.
Oh, good. Yeah, so, looking forward to that too.
Yeah, so
some
again,
fire content coming up, Steve, from you, man. Well, some fire content.
I don't know. I mean, all those fragrances are fairly old now, so as I say, it's more for me. It was something that I just thought, because I've smelt Spice Bomb Extreme numerous times in store, but I've never given it a full proper wearing. So I've just bought a sample of it, and I've got the original Spice Bomb, and I've got Bulgari's Man in Black as well. So I just wanted to go, right, I've got to do this now. It's because I'm a geek. I like comparing data. Same if I'm looking at cars or phones. I like to compare data and stats and figure out which is my favourite. And I want to do that with fragrances sometimes. I go, right, these often get compared. So which one is the best? I want to know for sure now. I'm going to test it for myself.
If you're curious as to which one's the best and you want to compare them, there'll be lots of other people out there, at least 5 other people that are interested in that as well. So, do the video.
Yeah, it should be coming. I'm editing bitch this week for the podcast, but I do just need to finish editing the video, so I might finish that tonight, hopefully, if I've got time, but probably I'll just finish the podcast and then crash out in front of the TV, but we shall see. So yeah, that's what I've been wearing, so nothing too weird or wonderful, but shall we do some Podmin?
I think it's that time.
Right, shall I do the Kofis?
Yeah.
So we have had a few Kofis this week. Let me see, where are we? We are on... okay, right. So we will start with a Kofi from Philip. So everybody knows the score, but if you go to ko-fi.com/thesaintgeeks, all one word, you can financially support the podcast, and we just put that money towards hosting fees, etc. So we've had a few. The first one comes from Philip. He says, hi guys, love the podcast. A quick question. What fragrance would you wear that would get through people's face masks to make an impression in these strange modern times? So basically you want something that's violently powerful, don't you? That's going to project and be very strong and noticeable. Yeah. Now we're getting into slightly colder weather. That might help because you can get away with that a bit more. Because in the summer, in the heat, that's going to be a bit of a killer. So, what do you reckon, mate? Have you got anything in mind?
I've got a couple of designs, a couple of niches that spring to mind. I'll reel them off. So, designer, you're always going to get some massive performance with Sauvage EDT, the original. That's going to get through the face masks at 1,000 paces easily. And then I always feel like Wanted by Night is a very strong fragrance that has a massive projection. So I think that would be a good one, and that obviously ties in with this time of year beautifully as well. Going niche, I find Roger Parfum's Fetish particularly potent in a really good way. It's like this sweet, pissy, slightly animalic, but very well-rounded, beautiful kind of leathery.
So did you
fragrance.
Say pissy?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that I've really used before, but I've heard it mentioned a lot as strangely as a positive way of describing a fragrance. You know how people describe ouds as being fecal, but they don't mean that they don't like it. That's just the kind of way of describing that type of accord. Well, yeah, I mean, I'll have to let you smell something that's got a bit of a pissy smell, but fetish has, but not in a... This sounds weird and it's hard to explain, but not in a bad way. I don't know if anyone else gets this, but in an intriguing way, in a way that draws you in, almost in a way that you feel like you shouldn't like it, but it's so mesmerizing you can't help but like it, and it draws you in. I'm sure everyone can relate to those types of notes in fragrances. You kind of smell it and you're like, what is that? But what is that? I like it. It's good. So fetish is a very strong, potent fragrance, and yeah, a very real good statement making frag. So that'd get through the masks. And then the one that I've recently received from Amouage, Overture, is a belter of a beast mode beauty. Oh, cognac and woods and cumin. Cumin is that note that people associate with curry. And Fate Man from Amouage is really heavy on the cumin, and a little too much actually for me. It smelled too much of curry. But this, the cumin in this, is balanced so beautifully with the sweet cognac and like creamy sandalwood. It just works so well. So I've been wearing that a lot in the last week or so, and that would be a great one for autumn. And it's beast mode, so it's gonna be smelled by even the most impenetrable COVID masks. So there you go.
Cool. There you go. Nice.
That's my
well
answer
done.
To the question.
For the sake of time, I'm just going to crack on. I think you've answered that very, very
sorry,
well.
Sorry, mate.
No, it's fine. Honestly, right. Who have we got next?
You just couldn't think of anything, could you?
That's fine. Next, we've got someone who has donated before, and I have previously butchered their name. So within their comments, they've said, by the way, name is pronounced Ayorn. So there is it. I'll spell the name, because I think in the past I've pronounced it as Adan, or because it's A-O-D-H. There's an accent over the A and then an N.
Right.
But they've actually, because I've butchered it in the past, and I do apologise for that. But they were fine with it, because they kind of put something else somewhere else and said, oh no, don't worry about it, people get it wrong all the time. But yeah. Anyway, they said, by the way, the name is pronounced Ayorn, so thank you for that. And they said, you should ascent Michael Myers, Pinhead, Jason, Freddy Krueger and Chucky. So they're clearly a horror fan. So obviously we did the James Bond episode where we sent all the Bonds, so they're basically suggesting that when we do that again, we should look at the
that's
horror genre.
Oh yeah, horror villains, that's a brilliant one.
Yeah, we could whop out the pissy notes and the fecal notes and all sorts.
Yeah, the blood notes, yeah.
Yeah, some jizzy notes, why not? And we've got another subscriber, donator, coming back to us. It is Wayne from Brisbane. So he wrote a review last week, I think, wasn't it? I think it was last week, and donated. So he said, absolutely fantastic show. I don't know why he's done it like that, but yeah. Short and sweet, no essay this week. Have a great week, fellas. My scent of the day, Scent of Peace, which I'm yet to smell.
Me too.
But I've heard good things about it.
Yeah.
The next one, it just says Ko-fi supporter. So I think it would have come up on my PayPal who it was, but they've either not changed their name or they've left it as anonymous. But so Ko-fi supporter, thank you. They said, instead of coffee, I'm buying you guys a new drink I'm working on called a mocha gel. Okay, fair enough. And then they said, Chris, the background track on your old list videos is dope. Can it be downloaded? Is it licensed to you? How does a YouTuber go about finding music? Well,
you've got to dedicate freaking hours of your life to finding music. That's the answer to that one.
Yeah, it is.
Jesus.
I would say a lot of YouTubers would say the background music, or that just music in general in videos, because there's so much control over licensing and what you can and can't do, is the bane of most YouTubers' existence, isn't it? I know Nigel hates it. He's often moaned to me about it, but bless him, he has to work out what songs he can get away with playing on his Friday Night Lives, doesn't he? So he has to test them during the week so he can then play on the Friday Night Live without it being taken down. So,
but surely all of those are copyrighted, so I don't know how he gets around that.
From what I understand, basically they are, as you say, all songs are licensed or copyright, but some of them either don't get detected, or they don't get picked up, or they don't get flagged, or for whatever. Because sometimes,
or maybe you can have them uploaded, but you just can't monetize the video.
Yeah, perhaps. Mm. I mean, I've only ever slipped up once, and I included a Disney song, which I don't know who the fuck I think I was going to take on there. That flagged instantaneously.
Just that little known company, Disney. They won't mind me. Yeah, they've not got billions of dollars for lawsuits or anything.
Small fry.
Yeah.
So it flagged instantly because they've obviously got the Disney catalogue. But I just demonetized it. It was basically fine. They just said you can't make any money out of it, which I don't anyway. And yeah, I carried on. And if you may remember, it was when we did that collaboration where I was stalking you, and I used the Disney song You've Got a Friend in Me.
Oh, yes.
Because it just fitted so perfectly with the whole theme of that collaboration. So I had to use it. So even when they said, oh, you can't monetize, whatever, I was like, that's fine. I'm all about the creativity rather than the money. So, but it is a ball ache. For my background music, I've bought a license for a song, which I so pretty much use that track for nearly all my videos now. Mm. And in the past, I've used license-free music. But it is a pain. So anyway, sorry, I've been talking. Chris, do you want to answer the question now? I don't know if you know which song he's talking about.
I think I do. But listen, how do you feel about this, Steve? Let me ask you, because you've licensed this piece of music to you because, you know, you would rather have a track that not anyone else is using. And I get asked all the time what music is on my videos, what I've chosen. And I feel like I've invested literally hours and hours, days. It must amount to days of my life trawling through copyright-free music to select. And if I give someone the name of that track and then they make a video and they're like, oh, they've just got it easy, haven't they? They've just found a really cool track without any searching. So I'm a bit hesitant, if I'm honest, to say the music. But
No, I get that. I don't feel like you should, because I do totally get that. It is a nightmare to try and find music. Mm. And I can't remember what I was watching. I watched a video once. I can't remember what it was, and they had your background music. It wasn't a fragrance one, it was something completely different. And I was like, I bloody know that music.
Yeah.
I think it was one of your sort of seasonal music ones, like where it's kind of a bit spring and you do some stuff, you know, zooming over flowers and things. It was that style of...
Well, I mean, I don't mind mentioning a few of them. That was called Me Too, and that's from Lakey Inspired, but I don't think that's the one that the question's asking. I don't mind saying it because I don't use it as much these days, but the one that I had underneath the whole of my older videos was called Church of Eight Wheels, which is that funky track, and I do use that still for my like intros when it's just a normal studio video intro. I still use that, but I don't use it underneath the whole videos. I use other tracks now, and it's really interesting that the subject of music, because I'm inspired by music when I'm making videos. The music that I have in my head can sometimes really influence how a video turns out. So it's a massive thing. It's not an afterthought for me. And what you have to do is get out of your head connection to music that you know. If you're thinking, oh yeah, that Toy Story track would be great on this, from that point on, you will never get it out of your head, and any other piece of music that you find will never be good enough or never as good as that. So you've got to try and nip it in the bud before you get a song in your head and just have an idea of the style of music you want, but don't lock it down to a certain track. And then when you've made your video, trawl through your copyright-free music sources to find something that fits the style. So rather than already having, so I keep it a blank canvas other than having like the style of the track in my head. And it became such a ball ache trying to find music that I actually subscribe monthly now to a couple of copyright free music services. I use a lot from Epidemic Sound, and it's, for me, it's so worth it because I use a lot of music, particularly in my kind of outdoor or vlog videos, and the quality of the music on there is crazy. Some, you think a lot of copyright free music would just be crap, but it's crazy that there's some music on there that you think, why has this not been released and like got in the charts? Because it's a great track, it's a great piece of music. So Epidemic Sound, it still takes a lot of time, but just not quite as much as when you're trying to find free stuff. So I do essentially now pay for a lot of my music.
It is an absolute ball ache. I do. I just wanted to shout out one, actually. I've mentioned it a few times tonight, so he's getting a few shout outs. But Nigel at Two Centsworth, I remember when he changed his intro music because he got a new style intro. And his intro music, I really enjoyed. And he, because it's license free, he puts what it was in the description. And I actually found it on Spotify. There's a band and they're on Spotify. And I end up listening to the full song of that. And I kept listening to it quite a lot for a few weeks after he released it, because I just found it really catchy. Cool. I really enjoyed it. I'll try and find out what it is. Actually, I might put it in the comments or whatever. I can't remember exactly what it's called now. But
people can use Shazam anyway, I think, can't they?
Exactly.
Some of this copyright-free stuff doesn't come up on Shazam, but sometimes it does. So you can use that app to try and find out what music YouTubers use, I guess.
But some people get a bit funny because I've had comments going, oh, I don't like that background music. Can you please change it? And Nigel had a mixed reviews when he did his new intro. Some people, oh, really, really cool. And I remember somebody saying, like, oh, I don't really like this music. It's not really my thing. It's like, yeah, but it's not for you. He's got a lot of other viewers. And and he said it was not real. I can't remember. They made some sort of comment about, oh, I think it's kind of vocodery sort of style. He said it's not real music. It's like, well, it is, isn't it? It's all music. It's people just get a bit
Someone dropped a comment on the video that I released today saying that, you know, that they're bored of the music I use underneath my list videos, and they're bored of the way that I zoom into the bottles, and they think I should change it up because I've been doing that for too long. I'm like, oh, right, okay. Well, yeah, if you knew what it takes to make a video, then you perhaps might not be making that comment. And someone else anyway has gone under and commented, no, that, you know, what you're talking about, it's absolutely fine what Chris is doing. And you can't please everyone. You're not going to case, like, whenever I have a music heavy video, 90% of people will be like, wow, that's great music, what's the track, I really love it, ah, you put your music so well. And you're always going to get people who go, love the video, horrible music. I'm like, well, well, thanks for letting me know. That was a really useful comment. But you know, you message that you can take away is that whatever you do, whatever videos you make, whatever music you use, whatever they look like, you're not going to please everybody.
You really can't. There's always some arsehole that wants to piss on your parade. And it's not a nice pissy smell either. It's a horrible,
it's a horrible pissy
ammonia smell. Yeah, it's not a nice pissy smell. Anyway. Right, so we do have one more, actually. So before I forget, how can I forget the last...
We're going to finish with this whole podcast going to be Kofi.
Well, it is. But the last one we cannot forget this person because they've never been mentioned before. I don't think they've donated before. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. His name is Mo Kajal. I don't think he's donated before, so I didn't want to sort of leave him out. He said, thank you again, guys. Very entertaining. This is the least we can do as a small token of appreciation. So what a legend that
is. He sounds like a nice guy. I mean, feel free to donate every week, Mo. I'm only joking. You don't have to, but yeah.
We need to get Mo some sort of certificate or badge or something.
Yeah, of course, we're joking. Mo donates every week, so
premium subscriber to the podcast, like a premium membership or something.
Yeah,
so there we go.
We've got a review, mate. We've got a review. Two reviews.
Have we? Exciting. Hit me.
All right. So I'm going to start with the shorter one first. So this is 5-star review, obviously, titled Good Stuff. Says, US listener, really enjoyable listen. Keep it up, fellas. Nice to hear two regular guys talk about frags. It's a good outlet for me because I don't have any friends with this interest. Also, don't hesitate to devote an entire episode to good fall fragrances. And that's from Jerome in the US of A. And obviously that ties into what we've talked about in the past about it's an outlet for people who, you know, it's not necessarily at the moment a blokey thing. Or, you know, a thing that guys talk about a lot. I don't know why, but it isn't. So I think this is an outlet for people like YouTube, and hopefully our podcast is nice for people to kind of get their fix, really, if their friends aren't into it. So that was a lovely comment. The next one is a little longer, but I will read it out. So this is titled 5 stars, obviously. Fun and informative for beginners and pros alike. Here's the message. Chris and Steve are great, and the way that they conduct their podcast, one can't help but feel like they're sitting down right next to them. Too many times the fragrance community feels standoffish and unwelcoming, kind of like a pushy salesperson at a department store who starts to realise you won't actually buy anything. Instead, these guys are like walking into Ollivander's wand shop from Harry Potter, where they give you exactly what you need to know and why you need to know it, while making all the connections you never thought to ask. Comparing two British guys to Harry Potter may have just given away my American identity, but I'm comfortable with that. These guys break down all cultural barriers as well as open up a wide world of fragrances that goes beyond borders. Don't hesitate to spray your favourite fragrance and kick back and relax or laugh with these pros. I mean, the comments like that absolutely make this all worthwhile. Thank you, Anson Caddy in the United States of America. And don't worry about the Harry Potter thing. You know, everyone grows out of it at some stage.
It does. I've said it before, but it does genuinely blow my mind. I was thinking about this the other day, like, because sometimes, obviously, it's my turn to be editing bitch this week, and I have to edit it, and I hear back, and sometimes I think I'm just some mumbling twats just talking about some random shit. And I think, as it blows my mind that people actually sort of want to listen, and dare I say it, some people enjoy listening to it. It really does.
Well, there are other mumbling twats out there that love to listen to other mumbling twats, mate. So, you know, there's an audience for everything.
There is an audience for... We all love a bit of twat, don't we? So, I've got a little update from our little family of St. Geeks podcasters. Do you remember? I very generously gave away a whole bottle of... I think we can class it as a niche fragrance, higher niche, Jaguar Pace.
The fragrance
that was highly hyped from the man, the legend, the myth that is Jeremy Fragrance. So he highly hyped it. I ended up blind buying it, and I was a little bit underwhelmed. Basically, what everybody says for me, it was a classic shower gel fragrance, but it had a little bit of an old school vibe for me. It was a bit, the pepper made it a bit sort of spicy, and it just gave me a little bit of a bit old school, but perfectly pleasant. Anyway, so I decided to give it away to one of our kind listeners, and someone did win it. They had to kind of be in it to win it, and somebody did. And I sent it off to them, and they got it, and I said, let me know when you get it and what you think. I'll be curious. And they said, yeah, definitely let you know. And I said, well, if you're confident enough, feel free to send in a little sound bite. You could kind of just do a little recording. Just let me know what you think of it. Is it shit? Do you like it? Are you going to sell it on, or are you going to keep it? Just kind of let me know. And he's like, yeah, I'll definitely do that. So that's cool. But what I wasn't expecting is a video or a sound file that is nearly 3 minutes long. And he's really gone into this. He's been copying your style, Chris. He's broken down the notes in the opening, the mid, the dry down. He talks about performance. I mean, he has got a YouTube reviewer's format on this. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to play this now, but you will hear the abridged version. I'm going to chop it down. He said, feel free to edit it down, because we can't include this in the podcast, the whole thing, but we do really appreciate your feedback. So I'll just chop it down so it might sound a little bit choppy to the listener, but just to give you a little feel for kind of what he thought. So here we go.
So a quick intro for everyone. I'm Gray, the guy that won Steve's first podcast giveaway. To be frank, I actually initially thought the competition was for a top-of-the-range Jaguar F-Pace. That was until Steve asked me to smell it when it arrived and let him know my thoughts, so I was a bit gutted. So, what does it remind me of? I was trying really hard to think of what I've already got in my collection that smells like it. And the fact is, it doesn't smell like anything that I have. Yes, I've got shower gel vibe scents, but this one isn't hugely similar to any of them. It is quite unique in its way. Okay, so going over to projection thoughts now. This sadly is its weak point. The fragrance seems to give you a fairly small scent bubble throughout the duration of it, but always pleasant and clean. But don't let that projection put you off. And I think it does what it sets out to do very well. And that's being a clean, fresh, sporty sort of fragrance that won't annoy anyone or offend. So that was my thoughts on Jaguar Pace. Thanks very much, Steve, for allowing me to share my opinion with the guys and girls on the podcast. And keep up the good work with the podcast. It's amazing. Cheers, guys. Stay stinky.
I really enjoyed listening to that. He's got a good voice. Are we sure this guy's not a YouTuber? He sounded very professional.
It's very structured. Yeah, fucking showing me up there. I shouldn't really play it. It's very well structured. He's clearly kind of thought about it. So for the listener, as I said, I've chopped it down. Chris has heard the whole thing, but he does really break it down into the opening, the mid, the dry down, etc. So I don't know if you caught his name at the front there, because he does have an accent that isn't southern. So
he was going to say, representing the north definitely with that one.
Exactly. Graham. So it's Graham. So the winner was Graham Oliver Chalker. So thank you, Graham. So basically from that, I think he sort of thought the fragrance was right. I think he was kind of what he was expecting by the sounds of it.
Yeah, nothing, just not great,
blew
performance
him away, but yeah, just poor performance, but sort of fairly pleasant,
which is ironic with it being a Jaguar fragrance. Performance should be one of its strong points, I would say.
You would think, wouldn't you? You would think. So there you go. That's I don't know when we're going to do another giveaway. So, well, I've given away a fragrance, Chris, of Jaeger Pace. So when are you going to give away something like a Roger? Oh. Are you going to give that away to anybody? Or?
Oh, right. Okay, that's a challenge.
So Jaeger Pace from me and then a Roger Dove from you. How's that sound? Like, it's about right, isn't it?
Sounds about right to me, Steve. Yeah.
So there we go. Anyway, so we're getting on for time. So shall we crack on and do the Centenario?
Centenario. Let's do it.
Right, let's do this. So let me just try and find it. I always try and flick around on my phone and my different screens. So this came in quite a few weeks ago, actually. So I am sort of slowly working my way through the Centenario. So as I've said before, if you have submitted one and you've not heard it yet, don't kind of give up hope. It might still appear. It just means you have to keep listening. So this one came from Gentle Scent. So they're on Instagram, and that is gentlescent_official. So they said, a little Centenario for the Scent Geeks podcast. Greetings from Germany from Gentle Scent. Imagine you are in the shoes of a famous poker player. There has never been a game that you have lost. Again and again, you play in trendy casinos and you say, and you are just full of luck. You're just like the most lucky and you're it's working in your favor. You're really rich as well. So, of course, you always play with risk, and it often happens that you repeatedly have a straight flush in your hand. So you are looking for a fragrance that shows you at your best. In that regard, you definitely don't want to lose. So it is very important that the fragrance has class and is intrusive enough to throw off, like throw other players off their sort of perception and their concept of the game. So you're trying to kind of knock them off the edge. I look forward to your answer. Thank you very much for the great entertainment.
Great scenario, actually.
Yeah,
I like
it's a
that.
Cool one, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I think I've got it. I think something just sprang to mind that seemed to fit with everything that you were saying. So this is a Tom Ford fragrance because, you know, Tom Ford is often a little risky and assertive and, full of character, strong fragrance, really would... this one is particularly... strong. I think it would display confidence. I think it would be something that someone who is very wealthy and, you know, rich would wear. It's got an opulence to it. It's got a little bit of a booziness to it as well. And this is in the private blend. Now, I'm going to say Tom Ford, tobacco, oud. Intense. Mm-hmm. I love the original tobacco oud. It's a little less challenging, but I thought tobacco oud intense would just have that extra edge. I think it's just got a little more bite to it. It's a little more animalic. And I think in that situation, it would have that extra bit of strength that would make it that obtrusive fragrance to try and put off the opponents. But it smells ridiculously good, and it smells like something that a wealthy, confident person would wear in a casino. It's a great frag. I've not got a bottle of it, I've only got a decant, but it's wonderful. So there we go, tobacco oud intense. That's all I've got for that one tonight.
Fair play. Of course, it was the original tobacco oud, wasn't it, that Jeremy Fragrance famously told Tom Ford was his most disliked fragrance. I think he panicked. He kind of met him and went, oh, it's my favourite fragrance, and it's my most complimented and my most disliked fragrance. And he kind of went, sorry, what? Most disliked?
Oh, bless him.
Anyway, I thought, for me, I was the fragrance that came to mind, similar lines, but it's a fragrance I mentioned earlier, so it's one I've been wearing, so perhaps that's why it's fresh in my head, but Bulgari's Man in Black. It's got this sweet spiciness to it, but there's a boozy rum note in there as well, which kind of works with a casino. Again, I was thinking of the sort of booziness to the casino, and it's a very confident, manly fragrance. Some people say it's a bit more mature than the likes of Spice Bomb, which it sometimes gets compared to, etc. And it probably is. It's more mature, but it's kind of quite a confident fragrance that's very... It gets attention. It's quite noticeable. It's got, and I've got a lot going on, but it works well. But with that boozy rum note, I thought that would work quite well in a casino. So yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I think great choice. I love it. Brilliant.
So there we go. So thank you, Gentle Scent. Check them out on Instagram. As I say, it's gentlescent_official. So go and give them a follow. By all means, thank you for your Centenario. So that's us, isn't it? That's kind
of
us.
Yeah, that's us.
And there you go.
Time to go and chill.
It is time to go and chill, or time to go and edit for me.
I don't think there's too... Well, yeah, I think you've got a little more editing than usual to do, haven't you, with the soundbite, but you'll be all right, Steve. You'll be all right.
One a.m.
you'll be messaging me, just got it uploaded, Chris.
Fucking computer! Anyway, is there anything you want to say before we sign off?
No.
Cool. That's nice. That saved me some editing time. Thank you.
Well, thanks. Thanks for listening, geeks. We'll be here for you next week, as usual.
So cool. Thank you. Thanks again, Chris. Thank you, everybody, for your submissions, your Ko-fis, etc., etc. I say it every week, but we do generally mean it. And thank you for those reviews. Do please keep those reviews coming in. And don't forget to join the Scent Geeks Podcast Facebook group. And when you join that group, there's a question. And the question, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to tell you what the question is, and I'm even going to tell you the answer.
What?
The question is...
Don't give them the answer!
No, because I'm fucking sick of it, mate. I'm sick of it. I'm a man
actually,
on the edge.
You do need to give them the answer so they know what to write in the question box.
So, the question is, who hosts the podcast? Two people. Who are the two hosts of the podcast? Quite simple if you listen to the podcast, I would think. But
you
be
would
surprised.
Be amazed at how many people do not answer that question, like... We're going to get into another thing, but some people just don't write anything. Some people apply to get in, and when they see answer this question to be accepted, they must just go, nah, not going to bother with
fuck
that.
Fuck it. Yeah. Nah, no need. And then there's people that think they're a bit funny, so they'll be like, oh, it's Jeff or whatever. They think they know us. And I can almost live for that, but I'd rather you didn't just answer the question. But the reason the question's there is just so we don't have any chances coming into the group. It's to kind of protect the members of the group so they're not getting spammed and people aren't posting random shit. It's basically, if you follow the podcast, by all means, you can come in. But we have people, I don't know if it was genuine or not, but somebody seemed to think one of us was Jeremy Fragrance. The other day on one of them. I don't know who the fuck that was. I think it's Stevie Wonder or someone. So please just answer it. It's Chris and Steve, or Steve and Chris, depending on who's your favourite. Just answer the question and then we can let you
look
into the group.
I know that some of you are tempted to write something hilarious because you know that me and Steve love a laugh and we're freaking hilarious ourselves. But the problem is they're not usually that hilarious, and also we don't know whether you're making a joke or whether you genuinely don't know, so it's just easier. You'll get accepted into the group quicker. The number of times in the last few weeks Steve and I have had chats going, is this a joke or do they really not know who we are? And then we end up just going, well, let's just not let them in then. So if you want to if you want to join a group, just answer the question. It's like, you know, easy for a reason.
Because otherwise I'm going to be like Michael Douglas in the film Falling Down, because every time I see this thing I'm just going to snap one of these days and go on a fucking rampage. Stephen Chris, for fuck's sake. So anyway, there you go, lovely little rant to end the podcast on. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Chris. It was always a pleasure, never a chore. And this is Jeremy Fragrance signing out. I'll
and
see
I'm
you
Jeff.
Later
see you later.
Thank you.